hamster. That's what he likes about Texas.
Well, brought to you by
Twin Peaks and American Leak Detection.
Here's Bob.
Yes. Had a very exciting and delightful vacation last week. And we went to Colorado. That's the new way I say it. Colorado.
Colorado Rocky?
Colorado?
Colorado.
You're just inventing weird ways to say it.
Leave me alone.
It's close enough.
And so the first half was in a place called Estes Park, a charming little town right at the front door of Rocky Mountain National Park, which I would highly recommend. That said, I've been there half a dozen, maybe more times, and I think it's about the only big-time national park I've spent a lot of time in, so if you want me to compare it to Yosemite or Yellowstone or whatever, I'm sorry. I keep going to the same one over and over and over again. I'm sure they're all great. Ken Burns would tell me to branch out, but it's just too easy to get to this one. Denver. Fly to Denver.
Did you go there as a kid?
Yes.
Is that why you...
I was raised at various family reunions, all at Estes Park.
Oh, that's cool.
At the YMCA of the Rockies is where we would go. And now we've kicked it up to the Airbnb, but it was delightful. And we're there for 4 days. And then we went to Red Rocks Tuesday night. And that was the halfway point between Estes Park and our other destination, Minturn, which is right there between Vail and Beaver Creek.
Beaver Creek and Vail, yes. It's just right there. It's the old mining town of Minturn. It's most famous for being part of the Minturn Mile, which is this kind of off-road ski mile that connects Vail and Minturn, the town of Minturn. And it's a beast. But it's awesome. And that's the only reason I knew about Minturn. But Minturn itself, like I said, an old mining town that's been redeveloped or developed. And now it's very quaint and cool.
So how did I end up in Minturn? Basically, looking for Airbnbs around Vail, I found the price point drops if you're willing to go 5 miles out of Vail. No other reason. I just am on a budget. It's a fine budget, but it's a budget, you know.
You gotta pay for those club dues.
You gotta pay for places where your family can all fit. Anyway, back to Estes Park. So there are many things to do there. But the thing that, I've never done, but people always ask, well, did you do it when you were there? And finally I said, doggone it, if I can get any support from the kiddos, we're doing this. And that is to go to the Stanley Hotel, who I later found out is where my sister was married.
What?
Which she just hauled off and got married once upon a time.
You weren't there?
No, she didn't tell anybody.
Oh, okay. Boy, that made your parents happy.
Yeah, I think she had a 10-day relationship that ended with a marriage on the 10th day. Now they're still married.
Wow.
But, yeah.
10 days?
And they're just like, let's go to the Stanley and get married. I don't know, man. I'm just learning a lot of things about my sister now.
Wow.
Because I went and visited her, and it was delightful as well. But let's circle back now to the Stanley Hotel, which stands in Estes Park, and if you were to search it online, you would find it's a very old and very large and very beautiful hotel. And it is famous for a few different things. One, for being a destination in Colorado for many, many years, for many, many people. As, that's that old hotel that, I forget what his name, E.B. Stanley or whatever, built. He was a old rich dude who had tuberculosis and moved to Estes Park, I believe, to try to deal with his tuberculosis, which altitude. What? What,
Ham? Saying that weird.
Tuberculosis?
How would you guys say it?
Tuberculosis.
Okay. I've never really had to say that word. If I got it wrong, I would like to apologize to you.
I was letting it go. I was supporting.
I didn't letting it go.
I was supporting your forward momentum
the first time.
I just want to say that I don't even know how it's said because I've never really had to say it.
Try it again.
No. He had a condition. Got to altitude. He was fine.
A condition.
And they told him, I believe, when he was living in Denver or so, that he had like a week or 2 weeks to live, and then he lived 37 more years up in Estes Park. It cleared right up because he got up there in the mountain air. I don't know, but he built this big hotel. And this hotel has been seen in many things, including a big part of Dumb and Dumber was shot at the Stanley. And, of course, it inspired The Shining. And that's really how it's introduced, is this is The Shining Hotel. And so when I was pitching it to my teenagers, my college kids, I guess they're not all teenagers anymore, they're like, absolutely, we want to go see that. Hey, Dad, what's The Shining? Or let's watch The Shining because I've never seen it. You know, that sort of thing. So they know about the twin girls.
None of them had seen it, though, right?
I don't think so.
Had your wife seen it?
Because
I don't know.
No, I don't think so either.
Did she watch it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes.
So on Monday night of last week, we gathered around the TV at our Airbnb, and we watched The Shining as a family. It went well, I think pretty well. My wife only got mad at me for that one scene, but what are you going to do? And, hey, they're all like teenagers. They've seen a girl in the shower age to become an old lady and then ultimately to die in the bathtub, right? They've seen that.
Sure.
I don't know if they've seen that. But anyway.
What about A Hall of Blood?
Not nearly as big a deal. Not nearly the elbow of nakedness aging. But, yeah, so we watched the movie on Monday, and then Tuesday we did the tour of the Stanley, which is a very money-making proposition for that hotel. They do very well. They hit you for parking, and then they hit you $30 a head to go on this tour. And
how big is the hotel from the outside? Because it looks like a monstrosity.
It's big. It catches your eye from all over the town, and it's up on a hill. And so you start the Shining tour, and the first thing they tell you
By the way, how did the kids handle the Shining? Did they enjoy it?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, you know.
It's pretty freaking scary.
The boys were really into it. My girl was watching while on Instagram, but I think she said it was good. And my wife will tell you it was great. But she was sleeping through long stretches of it, like she always does.
Need
but
more boobs.
She enjoyed the parts where she was awake, I'm told. So anyway, back to the start of the tour. The first thing they tell you is the movie wasn't shot here. And you're like, what? No, it was inspired here. It was not shot here. And you're like, huh, okay.
That freaks me out because I always thought that inside the Scatman Crothers, who's an actor,
yes,
kids, that he plays the bartender in the movie, I thought that full-on bar and hall and everything was shot there, but nothing was?
I think Scatman was more the caretaker, wasn't he?
Yeah, that's right. The bartender was a white guy.
Depends on which movie, too.
Okay, now this is where it gets really interesting, and this is what I wanted to spend a few minutes on, is The Shining is, of course, a Stephen King book. And then Stanley Kubrick made the movie. And then Stephen King circled back around and made the television miniseries, which, to the best of my knowledge, is very difficult to find. Is that right?
Yeah, you have to find it on, like, Laserdisc or something.
I didn't even know it existed.
Okay, so,
like, because Kubrick changed the story a little bit, right?
Yes.
King hated that.
Yes, Stephen King hates the movie. And so he circled back around and made his own. And so there's a lot going on here, I admit. But basically, the movie or the book was inspired because Stephen King, once upon a time, decided he needed to get out of New England with his wife and their little boy, which you might remember The Shining had a guy and a wife and a little boy.
And he was a writer.
And so Stephen King essentially was writing The Shining about him, or at least loosely based on a fantasy in his head about him and his family. So they go live in Boulder. And apparently they were going to drive across Rocky Mountain National Park, but the wife wasn't feeling so hot, and so she wants to stop, and they're in Estes Park, and they look up at the Stanley Hotel, and she says, can we please just stop here for the night? It's 1974, and at that time, it's apparently October 30th. I think I said earlier it closed at the end of September. It closed at the end of October. And so the hotel did not have... gosh, I don't think it had heat or air condition. And so they had a season. May 15th to the end of October was their entire guest season. And the place would stand vacant for the rest of the off season, except for a caretaker who was in charge of basically making sure that nature didn't take the hotel during the winter. So he would stay up there.
One caretaker at that giant place.
Yes.
That's creepy.
And so... King and his wife are there on the last day. His wife takes ill and they stay at the Stanley Hotel on the last day of the season. The hotel staff has all left. There are like two people left at the hotel, but he begs. He won't take no for an answer. And they say, okay, you can stay here, but you're the only people staying here on the final night of the season. And, King and Tabitha then have a creepy dinner in this giant dining room by themselves while all the other tables have the chairs up, and again nobody's there. Their meal was the only food left. Like, there was one choice: here's what you can have tonight, that's all we have here. And so the wife isn't feeling well, she goes to bed, and King pretty much walks the hotel, this creepy huge old hotel, walks it. It's empty, it's ominous, and apparently the entire story of The Shining came to him that night. And so...
What a perfect place for a demented mind like Stephen King.
Right.
Yeah. And so he writes this, and at the time he had already wrote Carrie and Salem's Lot, but he was very early in his career. He was not a famous writer at the time, and this sort of made him huge, and then those books became... Well, if we love this, we should go read his earlier books to see. And he, obviously, Stephen King became a very, very big deal. But yes, he sold the movie rights and thought he was going to have some say on how the movie went. Stanley Kubrick was not hearing it.
And by the way, for those who don't know, Stanley Kubrick at the time, if he wasn't the most popular filmmaker in the world, he was like top three. Right? Like, he was huge in that world.
Yes.
And he could do whatever he wanted.
Valley Ranch.
And so a smaller writer writing a book that you want to make a movie about, they bought the rights and then told Stephen King to go fly a kite. Stephen King, of course, becomes bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And finally, his opinion matters, but not in time to impact this movie. The movie... takes the book, but then writes its own treatment of it and changes Jack Torrance, the Jack Nicholson character, and many things that drove Stephen King nutty about the way the movie was made, including the fact that Torrance, the lead character in the movie, is kind of the bad guy throughout and is just, he's really not this character that is well-meaning but is just haunted by the hotel, and it flips him. The character in the movie seems almost irrationally evil from the start, right? He can't stand his wife. He can't stand his kid. He's running around. I mean, it's memorable. How many parts of The Shining are just, wow, you know, here's Johnny and,
oh, yeah,
and just all the stuff that's going on, but he seems irrationally evil to his own family. Whereas in the book, I think it's, which I haven't read yet, but I'm planning on it, but it slowly chips away at his sanity, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah, everything makes him insane.
Yeah, but you have more time for exposition in a book than you do in a movie.
Yes, but King finally bought the rights back in the mid-90s, and that turned into an ABC miniseries that the fans say treats the book word for word. And so it's finally Stephen King's beautiful baby, but like 1% of the world has seen the miniseries.
Right. By that
compared
time,
to the movie.
It's too late.
Yeah. And so it's this really interesting story that they're telling you on the tour. The tour is fine. It's good. I enjoyed it.
Do they have a hedge maze? Did they add one after the movie?
They tried to add one, but it's so bad. That hedge maze is actually in England where they do hedge mazes, right? 13 feet tall. This one is made of like junipers that the elk eat, and it only goes like 5 feet tall, and it looks like a little kid's, you know, pastime. It's out front. It's kind of spare.
And by the way, Danny, the little boy in the movie, like Stanley Kubrick, legend has it that like he was so protective of this kid because he didn't want the kid to be scared.
Yeah.
And the kid didn't even know this was a horror movie until like he was five or six when he shot it.
Red
and
Rob.
He was like 10 or 11 or 12 before they were like, you know, that's supposed to be a very scary movie. He's like, no, it's not. No, it's not. It's Mr. Kubert told me it's a fun movie for kids.
I just got to ride my tricycle around.
You're right. Yeah.
Yeah. So I has anybody read the book? Surely.
No.
You haven't read the book?
Not yet. No.
I can't wait to read the book. I've ordered it. I'm all excited now because I've done the tour and the movie. I want to find the miniseries. So now I'm obsessed with something that was really big in the 70s.
Is the movie real long?
220.
Okay, so it's not bad.
No, it's great.
Remember, there's some slow parts to
it. Yeah, it's a great movie, and all work and no play make Jack a dull boy. And, you know, it's Shelley Duvall just died. So mm-hmm.
You can rent that room.
But yeah,
you have to do it
can.
Possibly in advance.
Yes, the room that the King and Tabitha stayed in, Tabitha Hitler. They stayed in that and that night, and now everybody wants to stay in it, and it's rented on Halloween through like 2032.
Oh God, of course.
Yeah.
All right, good stuff, dude. Good stuff. Partial Bob trip to Colorado. I got to hear about Red Rocks.
Yeah, I got to get to that.
Okay.